All right, this is normally the microphone that gets used for our question and answer night, the first 10 to 15 minutes on Wednesday night. We're not going to do that tonight, so I'm going to use this microphone then to make the introductions. We already have our speaker mic'd up and ready to go for this evening. Dan Hawkins is going to be a tremendous illustration for me Sunday morning. And in some upcoming classes on spiritual gifts, we started a study 2 weeks ago on spiritual gifts. We have about four more weeks to go to finish that series. But a great example of faithfulness in many different capacities, many different areas of ministry and so forth. I think when I first met Dan, he was beginning as the director of the Village Ministries of VMI. He, for some time, how long were you in Fredericksburg?
5 years
total in Fredericksburg, just west of here, and helped them go through the process to find their new pastor, Pastor Jeremy Thomas, who's out there now. And here recently has been at the Glen Haven Youth Ranch since, when did you move out there? That's been, why does the time go so fast? This is horrible. Some of my deacons were telling me this happens more and more when you get older, and that's kind of scary. It's already fast enough as it is. But all of these different ministries in every single capacity has been a blessing. And that's why when we teach spiritual gifts, how there are a variety of gifts, but one Spirit, a variety of ministries, but one Lord, a variety of effects, but one Father who works all and in all. We're going to be studying that, and hopefully we'll be each one of us relaxing about what our gift is and how do we learn what that gift is and how do we train and prepare for that gift. Because the reality is we may find ourselves in a smorgasbord of ministries between now and the rapture. We could be in 4, 5, 6, 10 different areas of service. And the key is staying faithful each step of the way. And I don't know that there's a better example I can bring up here for you tonight than Dan Hawkins to illustrate that. So, as I say, he's been with Glen Haven Youth Ranch, and he'll tell you his official title and his new capacity there and all that. But my son was asking me, do we call him Pastor Hawkins, or what do I call him? I said, well, we'll let him introduce himself tonight, and we'll find out together. But yeah, you don't really go by pastor on the ranch, though. That's hey, you. Okay. Well, hey, you, if you'd come and talk to us tonight, then we look forward to the message.
It's a privilege to be here. Let me see if this is working. Oh, yeah, we're working. I think the last time I was here was for Glenn's memorial. And so however long that was, I was currently, at that time, I was at Fredericksburg Bible Church as associate pastor over there. I'm the associate director of Glen Haven Youth Ranch. I've been there a little over a year and a half. I've known of the ranch since the early 90s when Jody Brown was there, and he had made the switch from Glen Haven Youth Ranch to start Village Ministries International. And I became involved with Village Ministries in Tulsa as we operated out of Tulsa. But I followed the ranch all these years, and a little side note that's always kind of interesting that I like to tell people is I've just tried to always be where God wanted me to be. I was raised in doctrine, like many of you all have been, and always wanted to serve my Lord, and just went wherever He wanted me to go. Most of the time, I didn't feel qualified, but I just stuck with it and did what I felt like He wanted me to do. And through that, God has moved me in some different locations with Village Ministries. We operated out of Tulsa, out of Fredericksburg, and out of Oklahoma City, where Pastor Drew Freeman is. And then I moved to Fredericksburg, back to Fredericksburg again, and was associate pastor there. Through all of those moves and through those changes of ministry, though, with my wife, I always said, well, honey, at least it's not Glen Haven. So that was kind of a little thing that we always joked about. But actually, God was preparing us all those years for Glen Haven. And I look back on it now and I see how He used every place that He put us to prepare us for this ministry. So I want to just go through the slides for you all that, well, let's see what kind of problem we're having. Do all of you know about the ranch and know pretty much about the ranch? Okay. I've got slides both of just to explain what the ranch is, and then I've got some new updated slides to show you of kind of what things are going on right now. It's been acting quirky on me lately. Okay, let's try this. But Glen Haven was established in 1984. Oh, it'd help if you saw it, wouldn't it? By Jody Brown, Jody and Cindy Brown. And within a couple of months of beginning, Brian and Laura Elmore came to help them at the ranch. It was established as a boys and girls ranch and operated so for 12 years. I'm still having some difficulty with this. There. Okay. This is our new logo, by the way. Well, is it wanting to do? Let's see, and I'm looking at it. Caps on. You just didn't know what kind of example I was going to be, did you? Okay. I won't touch it. Glen Haven was named after Glenn Cunningham, who was the 1936 gold medalist in the Olympics. And he, after sometime after the Olympics, he had a ranch up in Kansas, and he started taking in boys and girls just off the street just to help them and give them a place to live. And he spent the rest of his life doing that, taking care of boys and girls. And so Jody wanted to start Glen Haven Youth Ranch over in Arkansas, and he hooked up with Glenn Cunningham, and Glenn Cunningham actually helped him get the ranch started and gave him a lot of information as far as some of the things to jump through, and even helped him with the location of the property in Arkansas. But this is a picture from the very first year, 1984, and as you see, they have boys and girls. It's automatically wanting to jump through. I am so sorry. We had this all set up beforehand. It just decided to take a mind of its own, I think. Maybe I should just go to the questions. Everything's just used to having that. So, okay, the first year. This is what you see when you come up to Glen Haven Youth Ranch. We're right off of Scenic 7, about 50 miles north of Hot Springs. And this is an aerial view. That is Lake Nimrod just to the north of us. And I know Lake Nimrod. To make matters worse, we are an extension of the Nimrod Volunteer Fire Department. And it really is like the Keystone Cops. So I'm a part of that. I became a certified firefighter, and I'm a part of the Nimrod Volunteer Fire Department. But anyway, this is our, as you can see, that's our campus down there. And we're in the middle of the Wichita Forest. It's 150 acres. It's a valley through there, and we're just surrounded by woods. So runaways is really not too much of a problem. So we're blessed with that. This is as you're coming in the dirt and rock road that we have. Some of it has rock, some of it has dirt. So it's just what we call a dirt rock road. And you can see how thick the woods are that's around us. And this is as you're coming in the road to the ranch. It's a working ranch. We keep about, there must be a trick to this. I'm just not a rock star. Maybe that's what it is. We keep about 40 head of cattle on the ranch. Thank you very much. I'll try not to move that arm. And we have 10 horses, which you'll see some of the horses and you'll see our equestrian facility. But with this being a working ranch, it the boys learn work ethic right from the very get-go. This is more of the this is from another direction. This is actually from our office looking back up the exit of the ranch. And you all know Quentin and Beverly. And I need to give you an update on Quentin. He is doing really well. Appreciate y'all praying for him. He, as you know, back in November, he had a massive stroke. It was a brainstem stroke, and one artery was completely blocked. The other artery was partially blocked. And as a result of that, he couldn't feel anything on his left side. His right side of his face drooped. But the big thing was he couldn't swallow, and they had to insert a feeding tube. And he was that way until January when he began to swallow again, and they were able to remove his feeding tube. So, and he wasn't even, he still had the feeding tube in him, and he was coming to work. He is so dedicated. Those of you who know Quentin know how dedicated and hardworking he is. But he's back to full time. He's still trying to build up his strength, which will take some time, but he's working 8 and 10 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And he's just, he will tell everybody he's a testament to God's grace and his mercy, and he is just happy to be here. He's in the process of working on a book and putting together his training, child training materials that he's developed over all these years. And did he ever do a seminar here? Okay. He's putting some of that together in book form so that we'll be able to have that and keep that. Greg and Gina Pitts, they were house parents at Glen Haven for about 5 years, and then they left the ranch, and then they've come back. They've been there now about 4 years, and he's the IT guy, and she's our office administrator and caseworker. She's the one that gathers all the information on the boys and processes applications, and she keeps us all straight. Dwayne and Karen Webb and the kids, Dwayne's been there 15 years. He's been there longer than anybody else. And you ask him why, and he says, because I ain't learned what God's trying to teach me yet. So, but he loves the boys. He has a real heart for the boys. He has a heart for the ministry. And, he will probably be there forever. He loves the ministry, and he's great with the boys. He's almost like the Pied Piper. The kids just follow him wherever he goes. And then, of course, myself and my wife, Lori, and my son, AJ. On the left is Scooter and Becky McCamey. He's our ranch operation manager. He oversees all the operation of the ranch. He oversees the cattle, the horses, all the new construction, building maintenance, automobiles, and then he cares for the pastures. I forget what you call that, but he's licensed to take care of the agricultural things. But he pretty much works 6 days a week. Candy is our cook, and she's got extensive background working in youth ranches, and so she brings a lot of experience to help us with the kids as well, and she does some of the teaching. And then Carl here on the right is a resident instructor. He came to the ranch several years ago as a resident, him and his twin brother, and he's never left. He came to the ranch and worked, and then he worked in a, what we call an independent living program for a couple of years, and then became staff. When the boys reach 18, we put them in what we call an independent living program. Those are boys that have not yet been able to graduate from high school, and that gives them time to kind of gain some independence, get their graduate, and then be able to move on to college or the military or whatever they'd like to pursue. This is my wife's sister up in the top center, and to the left is Sharon. My wife's sister's name's Chris. And to the left is Sharon. She is a special ed teacher from Texarkana, and she joined the ranch about a year and a half ago. And this is Anita. She's from Fredericksburg Bible Church, and she's come as a teacher's aide. She really was hired on to be a resident instructor for the girls' ranch, and we weren't quite ready to start the girls' ranch, and so she's been helping Sharon with the little boys being a teacher's aide. But we're all getting excited as we get closer and closer to the girls, and I'll give you an update on that as we get a little further. These are full-time retirees that moved to the ranch. The top couple's been there 12 years. The other two couples have been there about 3 years, but they retired to the ranch, and they serve without any kind of pay or benefits, and they just decided that's what God wanted them to do, is retire there and serve. And they do a wonderful job at it, too. We couldn't do what we do without them. These are some of our board members. They're mainly from the state of Arkansas, but there's a couple that are outside of Arkansas. These are our three resident homes. The top home is the Brown home, even though it's tan. It's named after Jody Brown. It's the Brown home. On the right, you see the two-story. That's where the boys stay. We can hold up to 12 boys in that residence. In the center is where we have the common quarters, where we have a living room and kitchen area and dining area, where the house parents come together with the boys and they spend their time with the evenings and weekends. And then on the left side is the house parents' quarters. They have their own quarters with their own little kitchen and living area where their family can get together and have some of their own private time as well. And each home is set up like that. The middle home has been under construction. We finally got all of it done, and it's ready for siding. That home holds all the small boys, 10 to 13 years old is the age of the boys that are there now. We are licensed to keep boys from ages 6 to 17. And we like to get them as early as we can. We have one 10-year-old right now, and the rest are 12 and up. The blue home is another home that handles, it's a little bit smaller home than the brown home, but it's like the brown home, and it houses all the bigger boys, the 15 and 16-year-old boys. And we do have a couple of 17-year-old boys as well. This is Scott and Christina Monowai. He is Hawaiian. He's from Hawaii, and she is from New York. So we have some real interesting times with them. It's a lot of fun. There's their son TJ and their daughter Sayla, but they've been active house parents now for about 4 months. They came to the ranch last summer. They went through some training and now they're house parents. They're up to this is an older picture here of some of the boys that have gone through the brown house, but Scott and Christina have 5 boys right now, and they'll eventually work up to 8, maybe 10 boys in their home. This is Gene and Joyce Fiacconi. A couple of these boys are still in their home. A couple of them have graduated and gone on, but they currently have 7 boys in their home. They're in their late 50s, but yet feel like they're going to spend the rest of their life taking care of boys. And they were like a lot of people that came to the ranch. They actually were taking care of boys on and off through their lifetime. You know, they had their own natural children, but then would pick up a boy here and there, and so they've always had kids coming in and out of their home. And so they finally moved, they found Glen Haven and came to serve in a ministry that could give them the support that they would need in order to carry out their ministry. This is Ben and Mary and Billy Swafford. That is Quentin's youngest son. He basically grew up at the ranch for most of his teen years. Went away, worked a secular job for a couple of years, and then they came back to the ranch here about 2 years ago. And they watch all the small boys in their house. This is some of the small boys. These are some of Ben's boys that live up at his house. And they vary in age from 10 to 13 years old. Only 1 in 3 Christian families in the United States believe in moral absolute. Moral absolutes. That's some of the most recent statistics on what's happening in our Christian homes. This isn't out there with unbelieving families. This is in our Christian homes. And only 1 in 9 of their children believe in moral absolutes. So that tells you what our culture is doing, not only to unbelieving people in our country, but to our own Christian family as well. How much of an impact our culture is having on what we believe and how we are to live our lives as Christians. 4.8 million children need to be placed in a home rather than their own. That includes foster care, facilities like ours, and even those kids that end up in the juvie system. And that rate just keeps climbing every year. That's the projected rate for what it's going to be this coming year. The problem we're having with foster care is, like in the state of Arkansas, we have DHS, Department of Human Services, coming to us and saying, listen, we know you're a Christian organization and we know that you don't take any state money, but we want to work with you as close as we can and get as many of our kids to you as we can because our foster care system is failing. What's happening with the foster care system is there's just more and more abuse, mainly sexual abuse. Is climbing at an alarming rate. I can't remember what the statistic is. It was like a child is like 6 or 7 times more likely to be sexually abused in foster care system than in a home environment where there's a natural parent and a step parent. You know, for years we were always told we really needed to be alarmed about step parents and that there was a lot of abuse going in that situation, and you need to be careful with who you're marrying and that. Well, it's even worse in a situation with foster care. So, and then 60% of all children in the United States do not live with both their birth parents. And 99% of the kids that come to our ranch are that. We have one child right now out of 17 that is living with both his birth parents. And they're a Christian family. And they just had some difficulty that they couldn't work through. And that's why he came to the ranch. Our approach is we take this approach of the spiritual life of the child very seriously. And we don't feel like we can fix any child. We feel like only God can fix the children. And if we don't get that child to where he knows Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, we are not going to be able really to get very far with him. So that's why it's listed at the top, because it's our top priority. We also take a strength-based approach. We look for the strength within that child. We don't look at the negative things or the bad behavior and try to zero in and try to control that behavior. What we do is we look at the strength of a child, we try to build a relationship with the child, and then we try to build confidence in that child as we're building that relationship with the child. That allows us to be able to eventually reach in and help them with what they're battling in their own soul. If we went the other route, like so many other places do, and we were just behavioralist and we tried to control their behavior, we wouldn't ever have the opportunity to be able to be there and have that relationship with them. And we've learned some of those lessons the hard way in the early days. We were more behavioral-oriented in the early days. And over the years, we've learned the key to all of this is relationships. If you have a relationship with a child and that child learns to trust you, then you're going to be able to have an impact on that child. And that child's going to be looking at you and going to be looking at the example you give that child as well. We have on-campus education. That helps a great deal. We don't send our kids off to public school. We educate them right on the premises, and I'll show you a few slides of that. It's basically a homeschool curriculum, but we put it in a classroom setting, and we have small classes where we have teachers that give them the assistance they need. Work training. We do vocational training on the ranch. We have a machine shop. We have a wood shop. We have a mechanic shop. And then we have the working ranch, so they learn a lot of different things. And then with our building projects that we always have going on, they learn carpentry skills and electrical skills. And so they learn to work with their hands as well as getting an education and hopefully developing a spiritual life that gives it the foundation for all of it. So that's what we strive to do. They live in a family environment. They live with a set of house parents and their family, and that's really our focus. We're not a clinical environment or a lockdown facility. We place these boys in a home environment. Two boys to a bedroom. They have a common living room and kitchen area where they spend time with the house parents up until about 9 o'clock, and then they go to their bedrooms, and the family goes off to their quarters. And then we have a resident instructor that stays there with the boys on their end of the house. But it maintains that family atmosphere, Christian family atmosphere. And then we're a working ranch, as I mentioned earlier. You'll see some slides in a little bit where, you know, they even have to muck out the horse stalls. They have chores every morning, just like all the rest of us. Everybody at the ranch works. You all have to work. It's a small community, and we all have to work. And we all have to do the things that we need to do to live there. And so they get to share in that responsibility. And then the newest thing is the equine therapy. That's something that we're going to be getting this fall. I'll show you the facility that we have built that is going to house that. But similar programs like ours that we visited are having a lot of success with equine therapy. And that's where the boys are working with the horses. And the boys think they're training the horses, but the horses are really training the boys. And they learn to trust the animal. They learn the confidence of dealing with a large animal. There's just so many facets to what it does. It's just what they need. I don't know any other way to say it, but it is very successful. Because a lot of these boys come to the ranch and they can't trust anyone. They don't trust anyone. Well, the first person they're going to trust is actually a horse. They'll trust a horse before they'll trust anybody. And then they'll start trusting the caregivers of the horses. And then they'll start trusting some of the staff. And it just kind of spreads. And so we've seen where it really begins with the horses. We've had horses for, I don't know, for a long time. We've only had a handful of them, and we've always cared for them. But now we're taking an approach where it's actually going to be part of the curriculum. It's a therapy that we're going to run through. This is the spiritual life. We have chapel once a week, as well as the house parents take their kids to church on Sunday. And then we have other special events where we have speakers. That's John Cunningham. Do any of y'all know John Cunningham? John Cunningham? He just left the ranch this last year. He's working in the area. He's doing some secular work, but him and his wife just needed a break, which happens sometimes at the ranch. But it's his father that the ranch is named after, and so that's kind of neat to have John around. And he still comes out and he volunteers and helps us at the ranch. And so it's good to still have John around. The strength-based approach, it can vary from outdoor hiking, like when we take our Colorado trip, or to working auto mechanics in our auto shop, or working with the horses. We just we watch these kids the very moment they get there, and we try to find their strengths, and that's what we really focus on. We have PE. They play football and they play basketball. This is where they're building the Votech building. That picture in the upper right is the Votech building that we completed last year. And as you can see, the boys are involved in just about every phase of it. The horses. Okay. There we go. They have personal time where they can do music. And a lot of these boys that come are very gifted. In fact, the average IQ of the boys that come in is above average. It's kind of interesting that these kids that come that are hurting and have so much pain from either mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, or sexual abuse, it's interesting that so many of them are very gifted children. And your heart goes out to them just almost instantly, because what's happened to them is not their fault. They've grown up or been born into a bad family situation, and all of these things have happened to them, and yet they're so gifted and so talented. This is the Colorado hiking trip I mentioned earlier. This is what a typical group looks like when they come, and we hike up to 11,000 feet, and this is a picture that they took up at the top. But it's a 2-week trip. Takes a couple of days to get out there. Then they spend all the time hiking, and it takes a couple of days for them to drive back. But it's a life-changing experience for some of these kids. It really is. Especially the city kids have never even been outside. You know, kids today, especially kids in the city, will grow up and they're all they know is computers and games. And I'm not saying that that's bad, but they don't get out and just enjoy the outside. They don't enjoy what God has really provided and for all of us. And so it's exciting to see them kind of get out there, and they're real reluctant to go on the trip. And of course, the other boys that know that tell them horror stories to scare them. But when they get up there and after they get over the jitters, it's an incredible experience for them to be outdoors. And we're really able to have some effective ministry with the boys on a Colorado trip. And Dwayne is the one who leads that trip. And it's really a great time. And that's why it's so important that we do it every year. We do it every summer. You've probably seen that in the newsletter where we're trying to do that. This is Sharon working with Dan, and he's still at the ranch. But this is some of the individual attention that they have. This is their classroom. As you can see, Sharon has there's actually 6 centers in that room. It's hard to see them all, but a center is an area where they focus on a particular subject. or activity. And so she takes them in all these different areas and tries to make it very special, even though it's just a simple little small classroom. But the kids just love her class. They're always anxious to get down to her class each morning. This is some of the projects. They're studying World War II right now, so this is some of the projects that they're working on. This is our library that Sharon and Anita put together for us this last summer. We had a library, but it was basically boxes that were stacked on top of boxes full of books. And so it was nice that we actually were able to put out our books. And we have the, is that the Dewey Decimal System? Is that what you call that? We have all of our books marked. And it's, you actually see boys go in the library, pull a book off, sit on a couch and read a book. We didn't see that before, but we're really seeing that now. This is Dwayne, a close-up of Dwayne and his wife Karen. This was at a party we had over Christmas, but I just wanted to put this in here to remind me that we are pleading for teachers. We need more teachers. We're getting more and more kids. These kids have more and more needs. Right now our staff to child ratio is about 1.5 to 1. 1.5 staff member to one child. And we can actually see where that's going to go up to 2 to 1. Because these kids are coming to us, are getting more challenging to work with. And one of the key things we need is teachers. So we are looking for teachers that are interested in ministering to the young men and young women that will be coming. This is his classroom. And as you see that little TV up in the upper corner up there, we are under Title I in the state of Arkansas. So the public school supplies us with computers and TVs and some of our equipment. They also come in and test our children. When a resident comes to Glen Haven, he's typically 2.5 grade levels behind, and we'll catch that up in the first year. And we know that because they come in and test our kids every year. And but they also give us the desk even come from the school system. So they're really supportive of us. And part of that's because they don't want the kids. They want us to have the kids because they've had some kids and they have their own kids that they all have their problems. But it's just because they can't handle. They're dealing with the masses and they can't handle with the special needs of these kids. So it's very understandable. This is a computer lab that they provided. We have 6 of these workstations. There's 3 on the other side of the room. I couldn't get in a picture. But these are all tied into the internet. Greg Pitts does all of our computer stuff, and I don't talk that jargon, so excuse me. But he, their internet access is all protected, and we know where they all are, where these kids are at all times on the computer. So it's good, and we have certain software we have on the computers, and they're not able to add things without permission. So it's very good. But the what really does the most for the boys is the work. And you see some that are smiling and some that are not smiling. And you've got one that's kind of looking over a rake there. I don't know if he's trying to eat the rake so he doesn't have to work with the rake or what. But they really do have a good time when we work. We try to have fun with them, try to teach them some work ethic, but at the same time have some fun. Here you can see some that are smiling and some that are not smiling. So, but that's a typical work day right there. They're working hay this particular day. This was done last year when we were doing our haying last year. We always have lots of fencing. We have 150 acres and there's always fencing to do. And by the time you get done at one end, you got to go back to the other end and start working it again. We teach them all kinds of trades. This young man's learning to do drywall. And then in the left-hand picture, we're doing a cattle drive. We do that twice a year. We drive the cattle from one end of the ranch to the other end of the ranch. And we stop off in the barn in the middle to give them their shots and their worming and all that. So this is an old photograph. This is back when we were adding on to the Blue House. But we have the boys involved in every aspect of it. They don't get left out of anything. And then this is a typical family and home picture on the left where they sit around a large table for dinner. Up in the upper right-hand corner is Candy is fixing lunch for the boys for school. And the boys are usually not in there like they are there, but That is a special time. She's making her special enchiladas. And they know what it smells like when she starts that. And so when they're on break, they're in there trying to help her. They all have breaks in the morning, so they're in there trying to help. And then the lower right-hand picture is we have outings where we go to the lake and spend a day like a family would. And so they get a lot of recreation as well. And their chores, mowing and sweeping and doing those things. This is from the outing here. The lower left picture is from when we went to the lake. We had a retired couple that live in Hot Springs Village, and they live on the lake. And they have us every year come to have a cookout and to go out on the lake and have some entertainment. So, and always lots of food. The boys like that. Working ranch. Every year we have at least one calf that a mama won't take. And so we have to feed that calf three times a day. And for sometimes about 4 or 5 weeks, depending on when she rejects. And this last winter we had, well, we're not through winter yet, but this year we've had 4 calves that we've had to do that with. Not all at the same time, fortunately, and not for that long a period of time. Usually it was just a couple of weeks. But this year was, I think a lot of it was driven too by our drought. We were having kind of the same drought you all are having, and we haven't had the nourishment in our hay that we've been used to, and we've been trying to supplement with vitamins. This is DJ. He's a current resident. He's from Oklahoma, if you hadn't figured that out. I know that's a bad thing to do in Texas, is show an Oklahoma sweatshirt. But this is I'm sorry? This is the new horse barn. And I've got some more pictures of that. But this is in the morning. They come in the mornings. They've got to feed the horses. We let the horses in. They all got to be fed and groomed. And then in the afternoon, they come in after school and they muck out the stalls. And it rotates between the houses. The houses all take different days. So, and he's actually smiling. We paid him $5 to smile for that at the time. I'm just kidding. That is Stephen. He's a great kid. Stephen just has a unique situation in his family, and he'll probably be at the ranch till he's 18. But he accepts it very well, and he is a brilliant kid. He's the smartest kid we have on the ranch. When they went to test him, he was just off the scale. So he's a joy to have around. Down in the lower left-hand corner is our old horse barn, and up there is our new horse barn. And how our horse barn began was we had a couple that gave us a gift and said, we want you to have a new horse barn because we'd like to see you do this equine therapy. And so we got enough money to put the shell up. So we put the shell up, and sure enough, after we got the shell up, God started providing everything else. And it just, when we were ready for the next thing, somebody was either donating some money or they were donating the material. A lot of the material you see inside was donated by Deltic Timber. And a lot of the hardware, door hardware, was donated by a firm up in Iowa. So a lot of things are donated, and we really take advantage of that. This is the tack room. Got everything nice and neat. That's one of our volunteers. She lives in Hot Springs Village. She comes down twice a week and helps work the horses. This is a riding arena that we just got put in, and it's 100 by 200 foot long. And that's Ben on a horse there with Dan on the fence. This is some training that we get to send the boys to. We have some horse trainers that will train our boys and our staff for free. And so we get to go once a year and go down for all the new boys and staff to get that training. This is Gene demonstrating groundwork. This is a lot of what the equine therapy is going to be about. It's 90% groundwork with the horse. So the boys get to ride a little bit of the time, but most of the time they're just working with the horse, which they have been doing, but not in a specific manner like we have planned for the actual therapy. I'm going to show you now some pictures about our facilities. This is an older picture, but it's our office on the left, and that building in the back is our education building. And then this is our baseball field. We had a church group come in and put this together for us. For years, all we ever had was a pasture, and it had rocks and all that. And we actually were able to put together a ball field with a backstop and dugouts and a fence. And this is a Votech Center. This is the back of the Votech. This is a machine shop. We have a full machine shop. This is only part of the equipment. There's a bunch more in there. But we have a fully operating machine shop, a welding shop, and then we have an auto lift that was just donated. And then in our auto shop over in another building, as you probably saw, we have a pit where we roll cars in, do our oil changes and stuff. But this is going to allow us to do the mechanical work. We have a volunteer that comes down once a week on Wednesdays, Dan Huber. He's retired from Ford Motor, and he was a mechanic trainer. He trained mechanics, and he also troubleshooted for Ford. And so he comes in, works with the boys, and teaches them basic auto mechanics. And we have a lot of autos to work on. We have almost 50 vehicles on the ranch, and all of them have been donated. We don't buy any of our vehicles. So when we get them, you know, a lot of times they have a lot of miles on them, and they're older. And so they require a lot of attention. So the boys get lots of opportunities to learn how to work on cars. This is a school building number two. This is where the big boys go. There's three classrooms up here, and where Dwayne and Christina Monowai, one of the house moms, she teaches a history class up there with the boys. This is our chapel. We just recently painted this building. Excuse me. Those church pews were, normally we had seats similar to this. And then about a year ago, we had a church donate those pews. And so we put them in, and it has really been good, because if the boys do something really bad, they get to move pews. And they are really heavy. No, actually, our chairs were in bad repair, and they gave us those pews, and it's really been nice to have the pews. This is the back end of the horse barn that I showed you a while ago. And in these two bays where the overhead doors are, is fire trucks for the Nimrod Volunteer Fire Department. Our one fire truck that we have right now, we're waiting to get our second one, but our one is a 1951 GMC pumper truck. I think it's going to get retired here pretty soon for parades is what I think is going to happen. And then this is a girls' ranch up on top, and then down below is the boys' ranch, just another aerial shot. But the girls' ranch is really, really ready to go. We would like to make it a little more geared towards girls. It's a bunkhouse right now, and it has all bedrooms on the second floor. The downstairs has a kitchen, dining room, and living room, and game room area. It's very nice. It's been restored. We sold this property. I don't know if any of y'all know the story, but we sold this property about 10 years ago to a doctor, and he came in, refurbished it all, and turned it into a church retreat. And then he heard we were wanting to do girls again, and he knew this would be the perfect place, and so he sold it back to us for about what we paid for it. And then we had a donor that came in and paid for it. And so God is just really, that was the beginning of the girls' ranch, and that was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And ever since then, God has just systematically brought things in one step at a time. And the last step being our house parents for the girls' ranch. This is Bill and Cindy Tucker and their two daughters. They're going to be our house parents and administrators for the girls' ranch. Because that ranch is 4 miles away, I know in our prayer meeting we were praying about a 300-foot invisible fence. Trust me, we need all we can get in between there. The boys have actually, when they heard that we were going to have a girls' ranch, they snuck out one night and to see how far they could get. And they got close, but they didn't quite find it. Because we found a road sign in their room the next morning. And we said, "Where'd you get the road sign?" "Well, it was just laying right out here on the ranch." And we said, "No, that came from the Brush Creek Road where the girls' ranch was." But they're constantly trying, you know. But anyway, it's going to be good that it is 4 miles away, and they won't really have the opportunity to get over there much. But we will have all kinds of safeguards in place by the time that comes around. Interestingly enough, Bill and Cindy Tucker, their two daughters, work at youth ranches. And up in Wisconsin, you may have heard of Rawhide, which was started by Bart Starr up in Wisconsin. So that kind of turned their interest that direction. They knew that the Lord was leading them to the mission field, but they didn't know what or where. But their exposure to youth ranches kind of opened their eyes to that. And then they started looking at facilities. And they had seen or heard about us in a bulletin. And so they came to visit us, and they liked our approach. They liked what we believe and how we what we taught. And they joined us last fall. And then he had to work himself out of his job. He was a manager of a large electrical co-op up in Upper Peninsula, Michigan. And they arrived first part of January. And they've got a month or so of training under their belt already. And then we have volunteers, and we couldn't do our ministry without volunteers. These are a lot of these are people who are up from Hot Springs Village, which is 28 miles to the south of us. We also have, I don't have it on here, but we have 11 RV sites. So we have a lot of people that come for short visits and will stay in their RV and work on the ranch and then go back home. But they do all kinds of projects. And then we have church groups that come. This church group up on the left is from Ohio, John Chase's church in Ohio. And they came for a week. And that fence that you saw in the very early pictures, that was over a quarter mile of a fence. And they set the post, put the rails, put two coats of paint on it in 6 days. So they were working hard. But they were sure proud of what they got accomplished. And you can see they had a little help setting the post. You can see the auger we were using. But still, I can't remember how many posts that was, but it was a lot of posts. And then we have ongoing projects that these volunteers come up. This is one of them. This is a storage building that we're building. None of us, we all live on the ranch. All the staff that work on the ranch have to live on the ranch. And we live in mobile homes. And so we don't have garages. We don't have storage buildings. And we've needed them for a long, long time. And we were provided some money to build some buildings. And we went over to Lowe's and looked at how they built them and kind of copied that. And so we started assembling our own storage buildings. This is above the machine shop I was showing you. It is going to be a bunkhouse that where we're going to house our church groups that come for mission trips. We've been using Hidden Valley since we've had it now back in our possession for a couple of years. Our groups have been staying over there, but when the girls come this summer, we're not going to be able to use it anymore. So we're going to have a bunkhouse. It's going to have a men's and women's side, and it will house 32 people. So that's just some of the work that's going on with that. I am going to hold this. How about that? I can't get into the newfangled stuff. I'm sorry. I'm too clumsy with it. This is what we're getting ready to start in the first week of April. We have a church group coming down from Washington State, and they are flying 17 teenagers and 8 adults, and they're wanting to help us get a recreation building. That number 2 school building that you saw earlier, that was our old rec building. But we had turned into classroom space. And so we've gone now 2 years without a recreation building. And this church kind of knew that we were wanting to do that. And they raised some money and they bought airplane tickets and they're flying down. They're going to help us erect a rec building on this site. And this is a real good location because our 3 resident homes are surrounding that pad. So it's going to be the house parents are just in heaven right now. They just can't wait for this to come in. They think it's really great. And that's kind of, I really kind of got off to an awkward start, so I kind of just jumped around all night. But that's kind of Glenhaven. I wanted to show you just some of the faces of the boys, current and past. That's Stephen, the boy I was talking about earlier. Michael, he's at the ranch. That boy left last summer, Will. He's a success story. He came to the ranch. And came from a Christian family, but had some things that he had to work on. And he's gone home, and he's now at Governor's School in South Carolina. That's like a Juilliard type of school. Dan, and he's still at the ranch. Little John, and he was our longest standing resident at the time of his dismissal last year. He was with us until last year. James, he came to us about 2 months ago, and he will probably be with us till he's 18. But he was having some problems at home and didn't have a good home environment. Zach left the ranch last fall. He is now in basic training in the Marine Corps. That's Chase there. He's still at the ranch. That's something I didn't touch on. We're pretty much evenly split, about a third of the boys going to the military, a third of them go into college or a third of them go into the workforce. And we don't try to push them any direction. We just give them the options and give them whatever training we can. When a child reaches 17, we start giving them a little bit of freedom, a little bit of independence, a little responsibility, hoping that they'll get out there, make some mistakes. We'll be there to help them pick them up from those mistakes. And then by the time they graduate at 18, that they're ready for the world somewhat. So that's what we try to do. That's David. He left at Christmas break. He'd been with us a year and a half. He was placed there by the court. We do take some court placements. Our kids come from churches, referrals from pastors. They come from social workers, and some of them do come from the court system. But we don't take any state money, so we don't have to. We're not required to take the children. But they will. They know of the ranch, and a lot of times they will contact us about a particular child that needs some help, and we'll look at their case and see if they're a fit for the ranch. We're very careful with our placements because kids have, as you know, a wide variety of problems. You'll have kids that need a clinical care or a lockup facility, or they need just an environment that's safe and that they can heal. And that's kind of what we offer. So we try to catch the young people just before they start to get into legal trouble or get into any kind of serious addiction. We try to catch those kids before they get to that point. And we have a lot of success with those kids. We just don't have the resources to be able to help the others. And we wish we did, but we don't. So we understand what our niche is, and that's what we really try to focus on and do well at. Mason, he's still at the ranch. He's been at the ranch 3.5 years. He's will be 18 this summer. He's going to be entering into the independent living program until he graduates, and then he'll go on. He's planning on going to college. But he just came to us. He was 4 grade levels behind when he came, so he was really behind. But he's making good headway. He's just running a little bit late right now. Stephen, he left the ranch just as we were arriving at the ranch a year and a half ago. Roy, he left the ranch about the time we arrived. Roy went into the workforce. Roy is a really good kid. He's struggling out there, but he calls us about every other week. And that's what a lot of these kids do. We become their family, and they call us, and when they're having problems, they're seeking help and answers to their questions, and a lot of times they'll contact us, and we'll help them through whatever they're dealing with. But that's just some of the boys. Did you all have any questions? I kind of just jumped everywhere. Yes?
How much time do you give to Bible study?
Bible study? They have a Bible class every day that's mixed in with their curriculum. They have daily devotions with their house parents, some in the morning, some at night. Each house parent's a little different. And then we have chapel Thursday night of every week. Plus, they go to church on Sunday. So they're exposed to the Word every day. A church off the ranch, and we're an hour from anywhere. Some of them go to, most of them go to Bible churches. In fact, I think they all do go to Bible churches. I go to Grace Bible Church in Hot Springs, where Troy Swofford is. And some of these boys go to, Ben and Marion and their boys go to Grace. And then the Monowise, they go to Bible Doctrine Church of Little Rock, Jim Bertel's old church. And now Rick Webb is the pastor there. And the Fiaconis bounce between that church and a community church in Hot Springs. Their boys, the community church in Hot Springs, they're somewhat involved with that because of the outreach program that they have. And their boys, where they are right now, that's a good place for them. And so they go to Bible Doctrine Church one Sunday, and they go to the other church the next Sunday. And I know that doesn't make a lot of sense. You'd think, well, you'd want to keep them in the same place. But they've got older boys, and we're trying to expose them to things, and we're trying to get them to study on their own and gain some of that responsibility that they need. And also, at the same time, start to work relationships with kids off of the ranch. And some of the churches, our Bible churches, are small. And so exposure to a large group is good for them. And that's what we're trying to do with those boys. The girls, we will be taking applications this summer. We'll be interviewing probably through July and August and placing towards the end of August. And the girls will be licensed for up to 10 at Hidden Valley. And we'll be taking girls from ages 6 to 17. We hope to get them as young as we can. That's what we strive for. But we look at every child that comes, and we never turn a child away on their inability to pay. So we're a grace operation, just like we believe our churches should be. And that's the way we operate. Yes?
Do you ever need to dismiss anybody?
Yes. Okay. We're very careful with these kids. Sometimes we will take a child that is right on the fringe of what we try to take. In other words, a child may have had a violent episode in his past, but we think he's probably beyond that. And we'll take that child. And then he comes in and he's there for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and he has a violent episode. Now, a violent episode, what I mean by that is he endangers one of the staff or one of the other children. And that is actually a physical attack. That's rare. And when it happens, it's very minimal because we always have adults around these kids. They are just never left alone. There's always somebody right around close and hears something. But we will have something like that happen. We would have a child that didn't have any violence in their history, and then they have a violent occurrence. But we do have kids that, all the kids that come here have anger issues. They have hurt and anger. They don't know how to deal with the anger. They haven't learned like we have the things that we do to deal with our anger. That anger comes out in acting out. They don't even realize that they're acting out is a result of the anger that's coming out and being triggered by something. All these kids have triggers to their anger, and they don't know them. They don't know any of this, especially the younger ones. And so we try to help them learn what all that's about. But when they go into their anger, if we don't catch them early enough, they'll go into rage. If they go into rage, a lot of times we'll have to take the child down. And we're trained in that. We get a lot of training at the ranch. And sometimes, you know, I showed a picture of a little boy up there. He was the very first boy, I think, that we looked at. He's one of those boys. I won't point him out, but he's one of those boys in that picture. It takes four adult men to hold him down when he goes into a rage. Now, he's no longer at the ranch. But just because a child rages, we don't dismiss a child. So that's kind of a violent act. But he's only endangering himself pretty much in that instance. And if we can get beyond that rage and get to where we're really, he's opening up and starting to work with his issues and work with his anger, then we keep that child. So we endure a little bit of that. When a child comes to us, we cannot use corporal punishment because these children have been hurt and have suffered a lot of abuse, either physical or emotional. So you probably wonder, well, gosh, how do you deal with these kids? Well, we deal with them by being hands-on with them. We're around them. When they're in a situation, we try to get them separated from the others. We talk them down and try to control them through using their mental facilities rather than using their physical. And it works. We have to give them a little bit of slack the first 30 days they're here, but we do get through that. And they start trusting us, and they start listening to us. And before you know it, we're not having those rage issues anymore. But, you know, healthy kids, I raised my son with corporal punishment, but he was a healthy kid. Some people feel like we're a little too soft on things. But, you know, we're not dealing with behavior. We're dealing with hurt. We're dealing with what's behind what's coming out. We're looking at the issues they're dealing with in their soul. And that's why we're very careful on how we do that. Yes, ma'am.
You may have already addressed this, but how many of the kids that get out have family ties? The kids call y'all once a week or twice a week once they're out. And I'm just wondering if they, or if you know even, like, you know, if they end up going and hanging out with mom and dad or mom or dad.
We generally hear what happens to them. And a large majority of them actually go out on their own. We are actually going to go this next year and go back and start working up so we can give some real hard numbers. We know roughly, we know that we have about a 70 to 80% success rate. And by success rate, that can be defined many ways. How we define it is they actually are a law-abiding citizen that can contribute to society. Hopefully, they're a believer and they're functioning in a Christian walk. We've only had one kid leave the ranch that we know of that wasn't a believer, that we were pretty sure wasn't a believer when he left. And we've had over 800 kids go through the door in the 23 years we've been around. So it's a large part of what we do. But, yes?
How often do the parents come visit?
It varies. Some not at all. Some once every couple of months. It really, and we encourage that or discourage that depending on the situation. But I can tell you, an average child has a natural birth parent who's either alcoholic or drug addict. The other parent is long gone, never been in their life. And depending on that parent's state at the time, will encourage a visit or discourage a visit. A lot of times, I'd say over two-thirds of our boys now that we currently have, because it changes as you get boys coming and going, but two-thirds of the boys we have now were being raised by their grandparents or grandmother, a lot of them by just their grandmother. And they came to a point where they couldn't take care of them anymore. Mom or dad was in and out of their life. One boy that I showed that I told you had been here 2 months, he's never known his father. Father didn't know who his father was. Mother didn't know who his father was. And mother was a drug addict. So, and grandmother couldn't take care of him anymore. So he's going to end up being at the ranch till he's 18. Yes?
And the children ever successfully return to their parents? Do the parents ever get help in their behavioral issues?
That's what we try to do. The ministry you don't see up here is the ministry we have to the parents. And we really try to reach the parents and try to prepare that home for these kids to come back into. A lot of times the kids are ready, but the parents aren't. Sometimes parents are, but the kids aren't. And so it kind of, but that's our goal, is to reunite the child with the family, unless it's just not a possible situation. And we have some of those. Yes?
What church is that in Washington State that's coming down?
It's at Elam Free. I was trying to think of the pastor. He was a doctrinal pastor, and I can't remember his name, but he ended up going through that church, and that's how the church came to know the ranch, and that church has been involved with the ranch ever since. But it's an evangelical free church. Any other questions? I'm sorry we ran late. Sorry we had so much trouble getting started. But hey, it's never boring with me. Look at all the examples that he's going to have to be able to. Well, yes, I sure will. And let me, before I close, let me just tell you all that we really appreciate y'all being a part of the ministry. We appreciate y'all praying for us. That's what we got to have, is your prayer. We covet your prayers. We really appreciate the prayers. It's what drives us. It's hard duty working with the kids. To give you an example of what it's like, if you've had a loved one in the hospital and you've gone and spent all day at the hospital, and you know when you come home what it's like, how you feel, just totally emotionally spent, that's how the staff feels every night when they go home. And the house parents, they don't get a break. They get a little bit of a break during the day when the kids are gone to school. And we give house parents weekends off and we give them days off. So they get some breaks, but they are literally on the front lines with these kids, and it's hard duty. So we really appreciate your prayers. That's what we would love for you all to keep doing for us, is praying for us. And if you're interested, if you're not on our mailing list, would like to get a newsletter at your house. I know you all get one here at the church, but if you'd like to get one at the house, they're free, and you can just sign up here, and we'll send one directly to your house so you can follow the ministry. And we sure appreciate those prayers. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love for us. Father, we thank you for who and what you are. Father, we realize that we all have this life that you've given us. We know that you've given us spiritual gift to use. Father, we thank you that We have you there. Father, we just pray that we would seek you out in our life, that we would use that spiritual gift or gifts. Father, we pray that we would lean upon you, that we would seek you out in our lives and carry out the ministry that you have for each and every one of us, whether it's praying for Glen Haven or whether it's working within the local church, whether it's working on the mission field. Father, we just we are honored that you would call us and that you would use us to your ministry. Father, we just thank you for this church. Father, we pray that they are strong in the teaching of your word, that they stand strong on the biblical principles that you have in your word, that you show us and ask us to live. Father, we pray that we would just never take those lightly, that we would take those out to this lost and dying world, that we would use those in our own life, that we would be the example, the Christ-like example that the Apostle Paul talked about, that we need to be in this world. Father, we just thank you so much that we have brothers and sisters in Christ to embrace and go forward. And Father, we just ask you to give us the strength with the leading of your Holy and the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for Pastor Bob as he continues to teach your word. Father, I just pray that you would continue to protect him and his family, encourage and strengthen him and this church. Father, I thank you for every member of this church and the ministry that they have. Father, we just give you all the glory for all of this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.